Christ, and then part four is I will choose joy. Join the blessings. So let's read this all together. Give thanks. Oh, wait, sorry. Let's pause. All right, so this is how we're going to do it. I'm going to divide the room into half, okay? So this half, you're going to read everything underlined, okay? And then this half of the room, you're going to read everything not underlined. Does that make sense? Okay, now we can start. Okay, one, two, three. All right, switch. You didn't think you got it that easy, okay? Go. One, two, three. Everyone, he remembered us in our low estate. His love endures forever. And freed us from our enemies. His love endures forever. An inheritance to his servant Israel. His love endures forever. He gives food to every creature. His love endures forever. Give thanks to the God of heaven. His love endures forever. Amen. This is the word of God. I was reading this passage, and I was just remembering on the faithfulness of God, and I was remembering how God has brought me through different seasons of my life, and I wanted us to take some time in light of God's love enduring forever. There are so many reasons that we can praise God. Joy in the blessings. What are the blessings that the Lord has given you? How has God blessed you in this past year? And we're going to take some time to respond to the Lord in prayer. So I want us to stand up and find a group of maybe 3 to 5 people. And we're going to spend a couple minutes just praising the Lord. So you turn it into a form of prayer. So you think of something that you really want to praise God for, and then you take turns and pray and just go ahead and take some rounds of prayer to just praise the Lord, okay? So let's all stand and find a group of 3 to 5, all right? If it's a little bit more, that's okay too. And let's spend a couple minutes just praising God and saying, praising him for who he is. So God, we thank you, Lord, that you are so faithful to our lives. God, truly we say this afternoon, God, that your love endures forever. God, that your love is faithful. God, it goes on and on. Thank you, God, that you remembered us, God, in our lowest state. God, we remember all the times that we were in the pit. God, yet you lifted us out, God. Thank you that you have provided for us, Lord. God, that we are never in lack, God, because you love us and you take care of us, God. So we give thanks to you, the God of heaven, and your love endures forever. In Jesus' name we pray, amen. Part two, join the trials. Have you ever walked through some season that was very difficult in your life? One thing that I noticed that I look at godly men and women that I model, like I want to model my life after. And I realize one thing that's common amongst godly men and women is that I feel like most of them or all of them have walked through at least a couple different points in their life where they've reached rock bottom, meaning they came to a point where they're at just a point of desperation. They're ready to die. They're ready to just give up. And somehow in that place that the Lord lifts them up again. And so I want us to read today from Psalm 73. Let's read this together. Surely God is good to Israel, to those who are pure in heart. But as for me, my feet had almost slipped. I had nearly lost my foothold. For when I envied and when I saw the prosperity of the wicked, when my heart was grieved and my spirit embittered, I was senseless and ignorant. I was a brute beast before you. Yet I am always with you. You hold me by your right hand. You guide me with your counsel. And afterward, you will take me into glory. Whom have I in heaven but you? And earth has nothing I desire besides you. My flesh and my heart may fail, but God is the strength of my heart and my portion forever. It's one thing to have a passionate and expressive faith with the Lord, but I would rather have a faith that has walked through and lived in the ups and downs of life and has emerged still close to the Lord. I would rather have a faith that has walked through the dark seasons of depression, questions, and doubts, brought close to the edge of death until it burns, marinated in frustration and impatience, fear and nights of tears, yet still emerging intact. God is not so impressed at the talent and charisma we have to offer. Honest hearts that walk in simple obedience with Him win at the end of the day. There are so many reasons to leave the faith, so many circumstances where offense can be harbored, so many Christians who have hurt us, so many times where God does not come through. Yet I believe God honors those who choose to trust Him and those who choose to follow Him. Better a basic faith that still simply holds on to Jesus after seasons of trial than a faith that is flashy and verbally succinct but new to trial that has yet to walk through the valleys. I think I understand James 1 when he says to rejoice in sufferings. He's basically saying there's an element in suffering that produces a type of hope in God. Fact one is that we live in a broken world where suffering and persecution and every form of trial is inevitable, meaning we cannot avoid it. This means that if we are trying to live our lives to avoid suffering or always praying for it to end or to be removed from it, we would be trying to evade essential life on earth. I sincerely believe that there is some suffering that we must walk through and endure. Never mind whose fault it is and why, but that we are to walk through it. I also sincerely believe during this godly suffering that sometimes God allows us to walk through this process to teach us. Some people say it's unbiblical that God would be pleased to allow His children to suffer. I'm not saying He's sadistic, and I'm not saying we should be blindly accepting all suffering as ordained by God. But I am saying that sometimes our Father allows us to be put in difficult and trying situations, and we recognize that in this difficult process, we are learning something that will make us a better and holier man or woman in His image. I can cherish the dark seasons of my life because I know it is not forever, and that the Lord will remain near. Each season of our lives has its own share of difficulty. The goal then is not to avoid difficulty or run away, but rather have the discernment to allow the Lord to minister, refine, and transform us through the process. And if we can learn to slow down, lean in, and listen, there's actually a lot He wants to speak to us and do in us through this. This is gold refined by the fire. Let's read Hosea 6, 1 through 3. Come. Let us return to the Lord. He has torn us to pieces, but He will heal us. He has injured us, but He will bind up our wounds. After 2 days, He will restore us that we may live in His presence. Let us acknowledge the Lord. Let us press on to acknowledge him. As surely as the sun rises, he will appear. He will come to us like the winter rains, like the spring rains that water the earth. So how do you function under pressures and trials? I think if we think about it in theory and we're talking about it with just our words, we'd be like, oh yeah, I do pretty well under trial, or I do pretty well under pressure. I thought that way too about myself. In 2014, my father got sick, and he was sick for the whole year of 2014, beginning in January, all the way ending in December. And when he first got sick, he was admitted to the ICU, and he had breathing issues, and he was in the ICU for several months. And when that first started, I said to myself, oh, this is like one of those Job stories where we walk through a trial and we'll emerge stronger. And so I said to myself, I'll be a strong Christian, and I'll pray, and I'll intercede, and I'll be faithful, and you know, I'll contend for breakthrough. But I quickly realized after several months that I was not the type of Christian that I thought I was. And I turned, I grew really impatient. I started asking the Lord questions. I said, God, what are you doing? What are you doing to my dad? And he didn't answer that question. And then I said, okay, God, even if I don't know what you're doing, how long is this going to be? And again, I felt like the Lord didn't give an answer. And so at that point, I got very frustrated. And I said, Lord, you know, honestly, it's very hard to trust you. Like, and then the Lord spoke to me and he said, El, even if I never gave you an answer for why any of this happened, would you still love me? Would you still walk with me? And I said to the Lord in that moment, honestly, it would be very difficult. I don't know if I can. And then the Lord said, confess the idolatry of reasoning. He said, you feel like you need all of your answers, all of your questions answered, and everything has to make sense before you move forward with me. And that's actually putting your mind before loving me. And when the Lord said that to me, I felt like I had to confess it. So I said, yes, you know, God, I'm sorry that I feel like I need all my questions answered. And so I had to lay that down. And then later on in the middle of the year, then I came home because the Lord said, I want you to go home and just spend time with your family and spend time reading my word and whatnot. And so again, I thought I was a pretty good Christian. And then I realized that when I was at home, I was very impatient. I was very grumpy. I didn't want to do things. I think our whole family was under stress. And so when you're under stressful situations like that, I think that we break a lot. And so I realized that I was just so angry and had a short temper. And I remember that in the mornings, I used to go to Panera right by El Camino. And I would go there for about an hour and spend time with Abba and just read his word. And then I felt like every morning when I came before the Lord, he would find a new sin for me to confess. And I remember going in one morning and he said, confess your sin of, I think it was anger. He said, confess your anger. And I said, how am I angry? And he said, you've been angry at your mom. You've been angry at Beth. You know, you have a very bad attitude. And so I said, fine. So I confessed my anger. And I felt like, you know, usually sometimes when you pray and you confess, you thought, okay, that's done, right? Oh, I'm not angry anymore. And then I came back the next day and the Lord would say essentially the same thing. He said, confess your anger. I said, I already confessed that yesterday. He said, you still have it. And so I just confessed again. And every day it was humiliating because I'm like confessing the same baby sins again and again and again. And it's like, and I got very frustrated. I said, Lord, what are you, he's like, it's not like I don't know you. Like, I accepted you. I grew up in the church, you know, like I'm a good Christian. Why are you making me do all these basic things? And I felt like the Lord was humiliating me. He's like, don't you know, like I served in the church and I'm a faithful Christian and whatnot. And the Lord was stripping me and he was showing me how broken I was. I remember one morning at home, I woke up and I'm not usually like a very angry person per se, but that morning I just woke up and I was so angry and I never felt that level of anger before. And I felt like I didn't want to do anything. I didn't want to go visit my dad. I didn't want to do any. So I said, I'm just going to get in the car and I'm going to start driving. So I got in the car and I just started driving and I drove for an hour and I drove until I reached the beach. And then once I got to the beach, I pulled off, parked, and then I just went and I sat on the sand and I was just steaming in anger. And the Lord asked me one question and he said, "Why are you angry?" And I said to the Lord, I said, "I don't know. I'm just so fed up. I don't want to be here." And there's no good answer. I just was venting. And then finally I said, "Okay, whatever. I'll just go back home." So I got in my car. I drove back home. I went to the skilled nursing facility or the rehab place where my dad was. And then when I got there, then the Lord spoke to me and he said, "You have a spirit of anger inside of you. You need to command it to leave." And when I heard that from the Lord, I started to confess and I started to pray. And I said, "Lord, forgive me for the spirit of anger." I said, "In Jesus' name, I command the demon of anger to get out of me. Go where Jesus sends you." And I started praying. And finally, after a couple minutes of praying, I felt like something just lifted off of me and the spirit was gone. And I didn't feel angry anymore. And after that, I was like shocked at myself. I said, "What just happened to me?" And I said, how can I have a demon? How can I have that inside of me? And the Lord was showing me in that season how wretched I was, how broken I was. And I realized that in trials and suffering, joy in the trials, that I'm not a good person at all. I was broken and I was short-tempered and everything. And this was the promise that the Lord gave to me, Hosea 6. We actually read this in the time with Abba a couple days ago. So I remember 4 years ago, I was reading this. And this is the promise that the Lord gave to me. He said, "You feel so broken. You feel like I've torn you apart. But I'm going to restore you. And I'm going to bring you to a place where you feel whole again. And I'm going to bind up your wounds." And 4 years ago, when I read that, I was like, okay. Obviously, I don't see that right now. But I took that as a promise from the Lord. And when I was reading again this week, Hosea 6, I was reflecting. I said, "God, you're so good to me. You really did heal me. You really did bind up my wounds. You really did restore us." You know, on the second day, it says, after 2 days, he will restore us. And then after 3 days, after 2 days, he will let us live in his presence. And so I was just reflecting upon that. And one thing that I realized is one of the barriers that prevented me from having joy in the trials is really the spirit of pride. This morning, I was reflecting on it more, and the Lord said to me, the root is pride. And I was thinking about that phrase, like, how is the root pride? And I realized that in my own story, the reason why I could not have joy in the trials is because I was too proud. The root is pride in that I did not listen to the Holy Spirit. And why is the root pride? Well, out of pride comes self-righteousness. So I was like, I'm right. Like, I feel like all the things that I think are right, God has to come and meet me on my terms. And there's a spirit of self-righteousness that, again, goes back to the root of pride. And I insisted things on my terms. I said, "God, I need you to explain things to me that it happens on my terms. Or I need this to be in my timing." And again, that was the root of pride. And then lastly, I realized that I had a spirit of control. I felt so hard that I need to control my situation. And sometimes we feel like that. You know, when you're walking through a trial or a season where it's just so extremely difficult, some of us like to go into a spirit of control, meaning that I'm going to try even harder to control this person. I'm going to try even harder to control the situation. And we were just talking about this in the staff meeting. So one of the ways that we respond to trial is overexertion of control. The opposite is run away, flee, hide, and go into hiding and depression. And so I realized that for me, it was actually both, and both are forms of pride, that I tried to control the situation and then I went into hiding. And so my question to you is this: how do we have joy in the trials? I think until we learn to lay down the sin of pride, we cannot move forward. Some of us are in very difficult seasons and you're in the midst of it and you don't see how you can come out. You will come out. But I think one thing that definitely helps is to lay down our pride and say, "God, I don't know what you're doing in my life, but I want to submit to you. I want to say yes, even when I don't understand. And at the end of the day, I just want to walk with you." And so in this section, I want us to respond to the Lord today. And I want us to take some time to really pray and lay down, is there pride in your life that is manifesting in a spirit of control? Is there any self-righteousness? Self-righteousness means that I am right and I need you to know that I'm right. We do that all the time. Or do we insist things on our terms? Okay. And so I want to invite us to stand. And you can close your eyes. I can lower the lights. Jessica, maybe you can come up. I'm just going to take a moment to reflect. And just allow the Holy Spirit to speak to you and reveal any ways that the spirit of pride manifests in our own life that prevent us from walking in your current season with the Lord faithfully. It could be a good season. It could be a very difficult season. Regardless, how are we responding with the humility to say, Lord, whatever you want done, I just want to follow you. I just want to know you. Let's just take a moment and you listen to the Lord. Allow the Holy Spirit to reveal anything in you. We're going to take this opportunity to respond to the Lord this afternoon. And we're going to pray out loud. And you just use your own words. This is a time for you to come before the Lord, just you and the Lord. But I want us to just pray out loud. And you use your own words to confess anything that has been the root of pride, any self-righteousness, any spirit of control, any ways that we have gone into hiding, maybe because the situation was too difficult or whatnot. But let's come before the Lord and just pray out loud and just confess all of these sins before Him. Let's pray. So Lord, I confess, God, the root of my own pride. God, I confess that when I walk through trials and difficulties, the immediate desire or the immediate reaction is that I need to protect what's mine, God. So God, I confess, God, of this spirit of control. God, I confess of all my own self-righteousness, Lord, that I feel like I need people to know, or I need you to know that what I'm doing is right, or I try to justify my actions, God. And so God, I want to just lay down all the sin of self-righteousness before you. God, forgive me insisting things on my own terms. God, saying that it needs to happen this way. And so, Lord, I take control from the Holy Spirit, and I don't allow you to have your way in my life, Lord. And so, God, I just lay this down before you. God, forgive me for not listening to you, Holy Spirit. Forgive me for listening to the flesh, Lord. And I did not stop to ask you what you thought, Lord. And so forgive me, God, for all of the unhealthy meditation, the just thinking my own thoughts, God, and thinking my own selfishness, Lord, but I did not allow the Lord to come and to wash me. God, so God, forgive me. So we come before the Lord, and the Lord hears our confession. And so today, the blood of Jesus is enough to wash all the root sin of pride and all of its manifestations within us. And so today, we receive the cleansing from Jesus that can take out all of the pride in us. And today we replace it with listening to the Holy Spirit, no longer listening to our own voice or listening to the voice of the flesh or even the voice of the enemy. But today we receive to listen to the Holy Spirit and say, Holy Spirit, what are you doing? Holy Spirit, what do you want me to do? And so God, we ask God that you would fill us with the joy in the trials, God, the supernatural joy. We receive the comfort today that we don't have to be anxious in anything, but by prayer and petition with thanksgiving, we just come to you, God, and we ask you, God, and that your peace, your supernatural peace that surpasses all understanding will just guard our hearts and our minds in Christ Jesus, Lord. So Lord, we receive this over ourselves. In Jesus' name we pray. Just as the small group in the beginning was sharing, we can find joy in Christ. And actually, this is the ultimate reason for why we have joy in our lives in the first place. It's because of Jesus Christ. It's because Jesus came as a baby 2,000 years ago, and he came to this earth to die for our sins. And this afternoon, I want us to read this passage from Luke. I love what a pastor said. Nate Edwardson, actually, I think he spoke here once, but he says that looking at the passage with beginner's eyes means that pretend like you never read the passage before. Pretend like you're just a baby Christian and you're just reading it for the first time. And what would you see? What would you observe? What are some things that you notice that, oh, that's out of the ordinary? And so I want us to revisit this Luke 2 passage where it's talking about the birth of Jesus. And we're going to read it, and then we're going to come back, and there'll be another way that we'll process this passage, okay? So let's read this. In those days, Caesar Augustus issued a decree that a census should be taken of the entire Roman world. This was the first census that took place while Quirinius was governor of Syria. And everyone went to their own town to register. So Joseph also went up from the town of Nazareth in Galilee to Judea, to Bethlehem, the town of David, because he belonged to the house and line of David. He went there to register with Mary, who was pledged to be married to him and was expecting a child. While they were there, the time came for the baby to be born, and she gave birth to her firstborn, a son. She wrapped him in cloths and placed him in a manger because there was no guest room available for them. And there were shepherds living out in the fields nearby, keeping watch over their flocks at night. An angel of the Lord appeared to them, and the glory of the Lord shone around them, and they were terrified. But the angel said to them, "Do not be afraid. I bring you good news that will cause great joy for all the people. Today in the town of David, a Savior has been born to you. He is the Messiah, the Lord. This will be a sign to you. You will find a baby wrapped in cloths and lying in a manger." Suddenly, a great company of the heavenly hosts appeared with the angel, praising God and saying, "Glory to God in the highest heaven, and on earth peace to those on whom his favor rests." When the angels had left them and gone into heaven, the shepherds said to one another, "Let's go to Bethlehem and see this thing that has happened, which the Lord has told us about." So they hurried off and found Mary and Joseph and the baby who was lying in the manger. When they had seen him, they spread the word concerning what had been told them about this child, and all who heard it were amazed at what the shepherds said to them. But Mary treasured up all these things and pondered them in her heart. The shepherds returned glorifying and praising God for all the things they had heard and seen, which were just as they were told. On the eighth day, when it came time to circumcise the child, he was named Jesus, the name the angel had given him before he was conceived. Okay. And now we're going to watch a video that basically says all of these verses again, but then it puts visuals to it. So let's take some time to watch.
In those days, Caesar Augustus issued a decree that a census should be taken of the entire Roman world. This was the first census that took place while Quirinius was governor of Syria. And everyone went to their own town to register. So Joseph also went up from the town of Nazareth in Galilee to Judea, to Bethlehem, town of David, because he belonged to the house and line of David. He went there to register with Mary, who was pledged to be married to him and was expecting a child. While they were there, the time came for the baby to be born. And she gave birth to her firstborn, a son. She wrapped him in cloths and placed him in a manger because there was no guest room available for them. And there were shepherds living out in the fields nearby, keeping watch over their flocks at night. An angel of the Lord appeared to them, and the glory of the Lord shone around them, and they were terrified. But the angel said to them, "Do not be afraid. I bring you good news that will cause great joy for all the people. Today in the town of David, a Savior has been born to you. He is the Messiah, the Lord. This will be a sign to you. You will find a baby wrapped in cloths and lying in a manger. Suddenly, a great company of the heavenly host appeared with the angel, praising God and saying, "Glory to God in the highest heaven, and on earth peace to those on whom his favor rests." When the angels had left them and gone into heaven, the shepherds said to one another, "Let's go to Bethlehem and see this thing that has happened, which the Lord has told us about." So they hurried off and found Mary and Joseph and the baby, who was lying in the manger. When they had seen him, they spread the word concerning what had been told them about this child, and all who heard it were amazed at what the shepherds said to them. But Mary treasured up all these things and pondered them in her heart. The shepherds returned, glorifying and praising God for all the things they had heard and seen, which were just as they had been told. On the eighth day, when it was time to circumcise the child, he was named Jesus, the name the angel had given him before he was conceived.
Some of the things that you observe with beginner's eyes, and we can open this up, you can raise your hand or share anything. What do you see, or when you read it, or when you watch this video, something that you did not observe before? As we read Luke 2, we are reminded that Jesus Christ is the ultimate and first reason why we can always have joy. Joy is in the message of the hope that God offers through his Son. And joy then is a gift that we can receive. And each one of us is carrying the weight and the burden of sin, but Jesus comes and forgives us and takes the weight off. And we can choose to have joy in the midst of difficulties and pain. And so I want to encourage us that even in the midst of difficulties, that we can still have joy in Christ and we can choose joy. And I think this is fitting because actually at our San Jose church just this morning, we were celebrating baptisms. And a lot of them, actually, I think all of them, with the exception of maybe one that was a college student, were all youth. And they made decisions in front of everyone to get baptized. And actually some of us, some of the youth are actually from our New Vine community. So we had Amanda, which is Randy and Winnie's daughter. She got baptized. And then we had Jasmine, which is Lawrence and Jessica's daughter. And then we also had Danny Leung, which is a college student. And we actually took some video footage, so I want to share that with us. So if we can show that just from this morning.
We support and love Amanda as she continues her journey following Jesus for the rest of her life.
Yeah!
In the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, make
you
baptized.
I think it's so encouraging that these youth, these students are choosing Jesus. They're choosing to follow him, and that every day we can choose to have joy in Christ. And so I invite us to stand. Say this with me. I will choose joy. All right, let's read this verse together from James 1, 2 through 5. Consider it pure joy, my brothers and sisters, whenever you face trials of many kinds. because you know that the testing of your faith produces perseverance. Let perseverance finish its work so that you may be mature and complete, not lacking anything. Amen. To choose joy is to place faith in Jesus Christ. To place faith in Jesus Christ is to entrust him with our lives. So earlier I was asking you this question that how do we have joy in trials? And so maybe for some of you, you're walking through a difficult situation. Maybe it's not a difficult situation, but it's a difficult person or something happened or whatever it is that is happening in your life. I want us to respond this afternoon to place our faith in Jesus Christ and to say, God, I want to choose joy. And so as you came in, you received a piece of paper and a pencil. And so if you need a piece of paper or a pencil, you can raise your hand and maybe Barbara can give you one. But on this piece of paper, I want you to reflect and say, what is one circumstance that you are going through that you want to release to God today? And you take a moment to reflect, and I want you to write it in the form of a prayer. So you can say, dear God, you know, I want to release to you whatever it is. Okay? And you can use your own words as well. But I want us to take a minute to write your own prayer to the Lord. And then once you've written that, then you can come up to the cross, and we'll have pins here. And as a symbolic act, we're putting it to the cross and saying, God, I am releasing this to you. So at the cross, we entrust to him every one of our situations. Okay? At the cross, we release the need to control the outcome. Sometimes we're like, I need it to happen a certain way. But by surrendering it to the Lord, we're saying, God, whatever the outcome is, I want to trust in your sovereign will. At the cross, we resist the urge to give up, withdraw, or run away. Some of us are experiencing a very difficult situation, and the temptation is, I'm just going to back out of this. I don't want to do this anymore. And at the cross, we're resisting the urge to just give up. And then lastly, at the cross, we are committing to listening to Abba's voice and following him. Because so many times we're listening to our own voice, like, this is what I want to do. This is what I think should be done. But we're saying today that, God, I want to listen to your voice. Holy Spirit, what do you have to say? Okay. So we're going to take a minute and you write out your own prayer to the Lord. And then when you're ready, then you can come. We'll have pins here. You can nail it and then go back to your seat. But let's take a moment. So God, we entrust to you, God, every one of our situations today. Lord, we say that we want to surrender, Lord, to your sovereign will. Lord, we say that even in the midst of such difficulties and for every one of our situations, that we want to receive your joy, Lord. We want to receive the joy in every circumstance, Lord. And so today we release the need to control our outcome. We release the urge to withdraw or run away, God. And today we say, Abba, Father, we want to listen to your voice. Abba, Father, we want to hear the Holy Spirit and discern what you are saying, Lord. And so today I bless you in Jesus' name, that you would submit to the voice of the Lord, and that however the Lord leads you, that you would be faithful and obedient to walk with him. And you don't even need all of the questions answered or everything to make sense, but at the end of the day, just to walk with the Lord in simple faith and simple obedience. So Lord, we thank you, God, and we receive your joy today. In Jesus' name we pray, amen.